Hello, hello, hello. God damn, god damn. This is Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose. And today I have a very special guest. Another who, if you will. I have Sel of the Who Asked Me podcast. We are going to be talking all things Real Housewives of Beverly Hills leading up to this season's premiere, which is happening this Wednesday. Sel, how are you?
I am good. I'm very ready for this season. It's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you seen the rumors about people like alleging that maybe this breakup is fake now?
Yes. And I want to get into that because I have lots of thoughts and feelings on it, as you do as well. Mm-hmm. Sel and I were talking a lot via Instagram last weekend about, I've been rewatching, I guess it was season 10. And The way that this season is critical to this new season that's coming out. What are we on, 13 now, I guess?
Yeah. 13.
So yes. We're on 13. I kind of ignored season 10. Like, I kind of thought it was all a bunch of bullshit. But then I remember, well, Emily, it was COVID. Mm-hmm. I ended up breaking my leg in June of 2020. And then I was on Percocet for like 3 months. So I didn't remember a whole lot.
Damn.
My experience was colored by that. So rewatching it, I'm like, you people are evil people. Mm-hmm. But before we get started, I just need to ask you something really quick, just to kind of get us in the mood of Beverly Hills. Do you think that Dorit staged her robbery?
That is one thing that I have no clue about. I genuinely can say I have no fucking clue what I think about that. I think, you know what I can tell you? I think that Dorit is a colorful storyteller.
Yeah,
I think she always has been, and it doesn't matter. And it's one of those things, like kind of like Brynn from New York.
Yeah,
I don't even think I think she does it so much. It's not really like a conscious thing now. Mm-hmm. It's just like, this is how I tell a story. I give very, like, you know, I make it colorful.
So right.
No matter what happened, whether it was Dorit or PK who staged it. You know, I don't know. I think that no matter what, we would have gotten the colorful story that we got. And I find Dorit and PK to be just an enigma.
Yes.
A mystery, because you don't have any money.
No.
You don't have any money.
You don't have any money.
Where's your wedding dresses? Where's your swimwear line?
Where's Beverly Beach?
Where's that lady that was chasing you around the pool saying you owe her money?
Right.
But the fact that these people, if I owe somebody like $50, it keeps me up at night.
Right.
The fact that these people have one, no problem borrowing that much money and then owing.
Yeah.
And then being on TV, it's crazy to me. It's crazy.
And in season 10, I didn't remember this, but they had just bought that house that they now live in. The one that got broken into.
Rented.
Or they rent it. Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They rent it, right?
I think so.
Isn't that frowned upon in Beverly Hills to like rent?
You know, here's the thing. A lot of these celebrities, first of all, and housewives, they rent their homes.
Mm-hmm.
Like they rent their homes. So, and then it's not until like their umpteenth season that they really actually get into the like the home. I mean, Heather from Salt Lake City, she
Salt Lake City, they are all renters.
Well, I like how Heather was honest. She was like, I lived in that home since I, you know, I was married and before I had my kids. And then now she's like, no, now I'm buying my home. I'm like, okay, I respect.
Totally.
Yeah.
Really quick before we get into Beverly Hills, where are you on Heather this season?
Oh, and back on the Heather trip. I'm back on. I love Heather again. You know, it's surprising how many things that we needed to like how many things were solved by just simply getting rid of the criminal.
I was like, and this actually leads into Beverly Hills really well, because you take out the most distracting, obnoxious, unanchored person.
Mm-hmm.
And you get some really great content from the people who haven't been able to shine.
Right.
And I think that I'm going to ask you, but I'm interested to see how this season goes with Rinna not there.
Me too.
You know, how did you feel about everything that went down with Rinna last season and her departure from the show going forward?
You know what? It's funny to me because I am a person that, like, yes, I say often, like, I'm not going to like everybody on the show. That's what makes me like the show. I don't like everybody on, like, every single even scripted show that I like. Everybody's not written to be like. But I do think that, you know, there's a certain area of, like, respect your reality TV villains. But at the same time, I think there's an area of taking it too far. Rinna continuously thought of this as a job. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the issue, I think, with Rinna lied in that she was a soap actress.
Yeah.
And, of course, so many, like, throwback clips are coming, like, you know, people are showing them now, like, oh, remember this, remember this. And I think with Rinna, like, hindsight is 2020, she just always treated Real Housewives. She turned Real Housewives of Beverly Hills into the soap opera it was always meant to be.
Yeah.
However, because it is very soap opera-y.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even before she got there.
Oh, yeah.
But the issue is, this is real life.
Mm-hmm.
So the Richards sisters in themselves, that is, you know, that's reality. That is how they grew.
Yep.
The stuff that Rinna added, especially towards the end, it was like, okay, Rinna, you need to dial it back. Like, you've lost the plot.
100%. And
you've
lost
the plot.
What was frustrating me with her was her behind the scenes shit. And I really appreciate, I'm like nervous, but I also appreciate not knowing anything about this season. Like when the trailer, and I'm about to ask you about the trailer, but when it dropped, I was like, well, upon first watch, I wasn't impressed. But upon watching it three or four times, I was like, you know what? This is kind of interesting. There's a lot going on that we don't know anything about, right? That's nice because when Rinna was on the show, I mean, It was very much, you know, like Vanderpump Rules season 11. Like, I feel like we know the entire show. We don't need to watch to understand or to theorize. And I think it's exciting to have a little less information. I do believe that Rinna was behind a lot of that. I believe that Rinna was behind a lot of nefarious things that were going on. And so I'm happy that she's gone. And with that, They did release a 7-minute preview a couple of days ago of episode one. But before that, they released the trailer. What were your thoughts watching the trailer going into this season?
I was not shook whatsoever by the trailer, and I'm totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. Like, was the trailer kind of boring? Yes, it was. Am I going to watch? Yes, it was. Because we need to start dialing a lot of these things back. I think a lot of the issue with social media and reality TV now is that everybody wants to know every single thing, which makes watching the show not as interesting. The show is supposed to be the main thing, not what happens on social media.
Right.
Not the social media stuff. That's not supposed to be what we focus on.
Right.
And I think that that's what, and especially in Beverly Hills, but honestly in all franchises, that is a big issue right now, is that you have this show, and then you have like a whole nother show on social media taking place.
Yeah.
And it's funny because like I have friends that like will watch, like go back and watch Potomac, and they watch Potomac from season 5 and it's still split 50-50. And they're like, well, but the people who are like Team Monique, like they're like 10 toes down Team Monique. And I'm like, you don't understand what was going on social media at that time though. Like, and that's what I hate.
Yep.
If you watch the show, you should be able to watch the show. But like now it's become like you have to watch the show and be on social media to get these things together, get like the whole 360 of the show. And I don't think it should be like that.
And I think that Potomac and Beverly Hills share that in common, that the not even just from the cast members, but the discourse, Potomac, in my opinion, is the worst with this. The discourse around it gets so speculative and overwhelming that it's hard to kind of just enjoy the show for what it is. And like last season of Potomac, I kind of laughed every episode and I had a great old time just watching these ladies just do their thing because they're great. And not that the discussions aren't important, but at the same time, it's kind of like, the off-screen stuff is not helping us focus on the show and what it is. And then we're not talking about what's happening on screen. And then you're not as invested because in the show itself. You know what I'm saying? So I watched the trailer. Like I said, I wasn't impressed. Upon watching it a couple of times, obviously they made an effort to add in the Kyle and Morgan Wade of it all. And I'm appreciative of that. I think that it would be weird to watch a whole season without mentioning that, considering what's going on. Where are you with Kyle?
And I've said this so many times. I don't know what's going on with Kyle, but what I can say is she looks lighter than she's ever been. And like, she looks like a weight has been lifted off her shoulders, whether that is the weight of Mauricio, whether that's the weight of her sexuality, whatever it is, she seems, or maybe not drinking. I don't know.
Yeah.
She seems lighter because Kyle is always, you know, she's just a person that's perpetually got a stick stuck up her fucking ass.
Yes.
Like, but she's not on the show. She's just like the person up fucking tight.
Yeah.
Like, even when she's having fun, still uptight. So that is that. I don't, you know, when I first heard that they were separating or like having issues, I was like, no.
Right.
I don't this for a second. And now I'm kind of like, well, maybe I do believe it for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I do. And I just think that, you know, we've talked about it. Kyle, and this is completely conspiracy, people, anybody listening to this.
Yes, we love Kyle,
we have kind of seen how Big Kathy has influenced the other two sisters. So with Kathy, little Kathy.
Yep.
She married Rich.
Kathy Hilton, for those who don't know.
Yeah, Kathy Hilton. She stayed married Rich. She kind of was the one who just really, like, personified Big Kathy after she's gone. Kim, we know she is. We know, if you know Kim Richards, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
you know her.
We know. Yeah, yeah. She's got a slew of issues. I pray for her. Hope for the best. I don't think she needs to be on TV anymore. And then Kyle, it just seems to be the one that's like, she always gave off like, none of this ever affected me because I wasn't like, it was always so bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Like you could see where it in Kathy Hilton, you can see it in Kim Richards. And then Kyle, you're just like, what's your thing? What is your thing that your mother like? What are you repressing? Like, what is it from her?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, Kyle, is it like you followed your mother's, you know, rules and what she wanted for you girls? And you really did suppress your sexuality for so long? Mm-hmm. And like, I'm like, something in me clicked that I was like, this is the thing from Big Kathy that this is Kyle's thing. This is her thing. You know what I mean? And again, that's purely conspiratory, but I just like, it just clicked for me because it never made any fucking sense to me that like they say, you know, Kathy Hilton, she can turn the switch. She can be really fucking mean or real and then put on the hat that we saw for her time on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Again, Kim, we know. And Kyle, it was always like, okay, girl, what's going on with you?
Right. Like, well, and her thing, I think for a long time, I think the viewers were meant to understand her as like the victim. She was the victim of the results of a traumatic upbringing, but then she would never admit that it was traumatic. So it's like, girl, look at your sisters, girl. Like, well, there was trauma.
Just the way they reacted to her making American Woman.
Yes.
Just the simple way they reacted to her making American Woman, they were like, I mean, that was a hard fucking stop. They were like, absolutely fuck.
Before they even saw the show, and as someone who owns that show, physically owns it, nothing to see here. And as someone who believes in the Bible of the Richards sisters, of House of Hilton, it's just hard for me to understand Kyle's perspective. Like, it was like she was trying to, like, she was like, oh, well, this is the picture I'm going to paint. That's what she does. She paints a picture and she lives that picture.
Yes.
The mother, I'm the wife, I'm the stable one, I'm not. And you know, what's interesting, what I thought about, and I want to hear what you think about this. She, one of her things is that, you know, she's not on Ozempic. I don't give a fuck if she's on Ozempic or not. But she said, you know, she stopped drinking, which will also make you lose a significant amount of weight and obviously clears your head, whatever. But the last season, one thing that I was kind of not harping on, but I was like, you know, addiction runs in your blood. And she was drunk, honey. She was drunk. Like, last season, she was drunk. And when you look back, it's like this thing where it's, and Paris Hilton, her niece, does this as well. Paris did a lot of drugs, drank a lot, but then her retelling of her own story is that she never did drugs and she wasn't a partier. She just stays up late like this naturally. And I bring that up to say, like, there's this keeping up appearances, particularly when it comes to substance use and maybe abuse in Kim's case, that I've found really interesting. Because the way that Kyle acted, like when she grabbed Sutton last season, she was drunk. Not that that's okay, but I found it really interesting that she realized about herself that she was drinking too much. And I just, that suppressing addiction issues maybe also could be suppressing sexuality. Again, this is speculative, alleged, but I'm interested to see how this affects her because she has so much anxiety. And I don't know, is she going to maneuver this season in sobriety with, is it clear head, or is she still going to be trying to grasp onto that picture, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take a couple steps back really quickly. I also wanted to touch on the American Woman, this last thing. I can't remember if it was Kathy who said this. I don't think I came up with this. I don't think this is from my brain. I feel like I had it from somebody. I'll say this and say, like, okay. Somebody said, and I 120% agree with this, that the issue with American Woman, like, Kyle was like, this is the picture. It's a love letter to our mom, blah, blah, blah. In Kat, the problem is, if this were a show that were to continue on, nobody wants, and we are a family with as much controversy around us, no one wants to see a love letter to our mother.
Right.
They want to see the nitty gritty. So people are going to start taking things from House of Hilton, things that they found on Reddit. In a writer's room, is going to create a story around that, and then it's going to get cloudy, and it's going to be like, well, wait a minute. Did this happen? And that's what they didn't want. And I said, exactly. There's going to be an issue of, we're having a show. You need to write a memoir if you really want to paint this picture of a love letter to Big Kathy.
Right.
That no one else can touch. But as far as a show, a drama series on Pam, no, mama. Nobody wants to. They're going to. And people have read House of Hilton. Yes. I have not read it. I have listened to every podcast that has recapped it.
Yes.
I have not read it. So yeah. I was like, that's exactly what. And like, Kyle was not using her brain. Use your brain, in the words of Dr. Simone from.
Yes.
Now, as far as Kyle and the anxiety and not drinking, yes, she was. Kyle's always been, I've always perceived her to be a big drinker. I mean, mama loved tequila.
She does. It's all she talks about.
I am interested. Yeah, I am interested to see how she navigates it, because when she grabbed Sutton last year, I will just never forget that. Kyle has always been very handsy with her friends, and not in like a loving way, in like a, like, kind of like that person that like hits you and you're like, yup. Don't fucking do that anymore, because you're actually about to
me.
Yeah, you're actually about to piss me the fuck off. I've always noticed that about her. Mm-hmm. But when she grabbed Sutton and Sutton was like the rag doll, I was like, girl, stand up. Mm-hmm. I know you are a frail lady from the South, but I'd have been like, if you do not get your hands off me, I will sue you for every single penny of you that you and Mauricio have.
Yes.
I feel like, I don't know, just because just from the trailer, she seemed like she cared less. She seemed like she cared less, but I don't know. Like, Kyle is a highly anxious person. Like I said, always seems like she got his pulse up her ass, so.
Yeah, she does seem, I guess she does seem lighter. She seems a little, she definitely seems more like lucid and able to articulate. Of course, there's the scene that we see, like, well, of course, the clip with her and Mauricio, where he's like, it's so funny that there's these rumors about you having an affair. And then she's like, for once, it's me. I was like, like.
Yeah, I was like, and a lot of people were like, oh, is she finally admitting that he's had affairs? I was like, no, y'all, I heard that as, for once, it's rumors about me and not rumors about you, because there's been rumors about Mauricio forever.
Well, for sure. But the salacious part of me is like, girl, you know this man was sleeping around. It really is an open secret. I don't have confirmation myself. But you can, if as a podcast consumer and as a pop culture consumer, you can only listen and read so many things before it's like, he had to have had an affair with somebody's out there. Like, well,
have you heard about what Garcelle apparently said in her first Real Housewives of Beverly Hills interview?
Oh my God, no. What did she say?
So allegedly, Garcelle was in the running to be on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills before she was like, no, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And then it came back around. Mm-hmm. And then she did it. But the first one, apparently, in the test interview, she said, they asked her something to the effect of like, who don't you trust, blah, blah. She said, Kyle. And she was like, I think she puts up facades, blah, 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 and especially with the husband. And they were, of course, they said, why? And she was like, let me just say this. If I wanted him, I could have him. About Mauricio.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So the word on the curve in the podcast streets is that some of that tension that was between Garcelle and Kyle in that Garcelle's first season had to do with that.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense, actually, because Garcelle is in season 10, which, again, I just rewatched. She kind of has low-key beef with Kyle the entire goddamn time, you know? Mm-hmm. And the new person that they're bringing on for season 13, Anne-Marie Wiley, is Kyle's neighbor. And she seemed, and friends with Dorit, I guess. And then she kind of, in the trailer, we see her kind of come for Crystal. And I thought that was really interesting. I think it's always interesting to have people that are kind of close to like a Kyle circle that are unwilling to protect Kyle. Because, I mean, she kind of has, I mean, she might not have that much influence, but if you think that Kathy Hilton isn't running the entire industry, got another thing coming for you, baby.
Well, here's the thing. Apparently, Anne-Marie Wiley is like wildly transphobic.
Is she?
Actually, it's not even apparent. I don't even know why I said apparently. She is.
She is.
Like, oh, yeah. Her and her husband are super conservative and they're like wildly transphobic and homophobic.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's where her and Crystal start like butting heads. Now, Crystal was hanging out with Kelly Dodd. So. Yeah, there's a picture of her and Kelly Dodd. Yeah. Sliding around the internet. So that's where I really was like, Crystal, we can't like stand. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That, you know, and that's the kind of where I always say this about these reality TV people, these housewives. We are in a day and age now where we are in, first it was the canceled, I'm going to get canceled, I'm going to get canceled. Now we've moved into the era where people know exactly what to say to skate by to not get them canceled, but without actually doing the listening and learning and like understanding like this is where this is harmful. And I think that's where a lot of these housewives live. That's how I feel about Whitney. That's how I feel about most of Salt Lake City. Yeah. They know exactly what to say and do on TV and on social media to skate by and not get called out. So a lot of it is performative. And that's like with Crystal, I'm kind of like, that's where I'm at with her, because you can't be sitting here talking about Michael Jackson is, you know, it's not cool to like Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's canceled, blah, blah, blah. The season before, getting mad because they want to play him. And then you're hanging out with Kelly Dodd.
Yeah, that's completely contradictory. And when I was watching the trailer, I watched it again right before we recorded. And I was like, I'm just getting like a weird vibe from Crystal. And I've been getting a weird vibe from Crystal. I kind of go in and out with her. I kind of forgot she was on the show every time she came up in the trailer. I was like, yeah, Crystal, what's up, girl? She gives me bad vibes. I'm just going to say that. Bad vibes. I don't know what's going on with her. Maybe I've been saying she's maybe not like fit for reality television, but she keeps coming back. So maybe she is. But I thought that Anne-Marie Wiley was an interesting that she chose Crystal to go against, just with her closeness to Kyle and Dorit. I thought that was interesting.
I wasn't surprised, again, because Crystal is, there's a thing that happens, like, it's kind of like with the little Lizzo of it all. When you make your, like, stance outwardly, like, standing 10 toes down on girl power, I'm so left-leaning, I'm so this and that, that I cannot ever do anything that anybody would ever be offended by me. I think that's where I think, like, kind of Lizzo lived, as in, like, I am body positive. I would never do this. Like, you start that instead of just saying, like, this is what I believe in, and this is how I try and live my life, and I understand I make mistakes. I think there's like there's two levels of that. Yeah. And I think Crystal lived in the level of like, I am younger than all of these women. I'm a millennial. I am, woke as fuck.
Yeah.
And therefore, everything that I say and do, like, I do with it. No. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to say something that's going to, or do something that is not going to be cool, and we got to learn from it.
Yeah.
And that's my issue when you stand 10 toes down on, like, oh, I'm so woke, I know that I can't listen to Michael Jackson, which that's not a thing.
Yeah.
That's not a fucking thing. I like Crystal. I found it funny when she called out Kyle at the reunion last year and said, you're just mad because you don't want to get in trouble. I said, what? Because I do think that energy is needed to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Where Crystal and Garcelle irritate me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Crystal, the Garcelle, and then the white women of it all. Is that we're having this, it comes out in Beverly Hills, that we're having this battle of the minorities. Just to say, be transparent. It comes out as we're having a battle of minorities. Mm-hmm. And then you have the white women watching this happen, and they're it's come off as they're picking and choosing, like, well, Crystal's a minority and she said this is fine. Well, Garcelle is a minority and she said this is fine. And they're trying to one, the white women should just stay out of it. And two,
for sure,
Crystal and Garcelle are both minorities, and while they have some similarities, their perspectives are very different, because the minorities that they are, the stereotypes around them are very different. Crystal is an Asian woman. They are known to be more quiet, more, oh my God, I'm not going to say anything, blah, blah. Garcelle is a Black woman. We are, in the words of Dari, the stereotype of us, rather, is the diametrical opposite of the stereotype of Crystal.
Right.
So we have these factors working here, and I'm just like, and don't get me wrong, Garcelle said a few things, and I was like, Garcelle, you're not an Asian woman. So you don't get to own the, monopoly on minorities, and just because you're the only Black woman in this group, just as Crystal doesn't, their perspectives are completely different.
Right.
Their perspectives are. So then their battle is like, to me, Crystal messaged me one time because she heard me on a podcast, and she was like, I am listening to you and I totally get what you're saying. I'm like, that's all I can hope for.
Ask for, yeah.
That's all I can hope for. And it goes for Garcelle, too. Just because I'm a Black woman doesn't mean that I think that Garcelle says and does everything right. She said and did a couple things when it came to Crystal and her feelings with the women last season that I wasn't really fucking with, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting amongst them. And then you're throwing Anne Marie in, who is a Black woman, but she has extremely conservative views. So
she's not inclusive in her beliefs. And do you feel like the environment that they're in, that the white women on the cast are kind of taking advantage of the maybe having Garcelle and Crystal pit against each other as the minority women, and then the white women are able to kind of let that be the focus and then they can just skate by on whatever problematic bullshit that they're doing?
Yeah, I think the issue is that when you have different minority groups in one setting, that it then becomes, and they don't, I'm trying to figure out how I say this. When the minorities don't want to work together and understand each other, it then becomes the white people who don't, the inner white people are like, they just want to use the scapegoat. So again, it's like, oh, well, you know, she's a minority. She's not white. And she said she's not upset about this. So why are you upset about it? Like that. And so that's just like, no, first of all, humans are humans.
Yes.
Right. And their perspectives are different. I really, really do try in my life to, like, even with other Black people, if there's something that another Black person is offended by and it's not something that I personally would be like about, I still understand. I still get it. And so I try to never be like, nah, this ain't that. Like, you can't make it about that. No, you can make it about whatever you want, because those are your feelings. Right. And all I can do is empathize and not discredit you in front of a bunch of other people.
Right. Especially this particular group of women, they're in a really tough spot.
Because they really, like, was it last season? Season before, when they went on that trip where Garcelle started crying and they were like, this isn't Garcelle, we want to see more. Oh my God. I said, bitch, why do I have to for you to relate to me? I was going to say, I feel like it was a season before. But yeah, I was like, why the fuck did she have to start crying for y'all to relate to her? Like, that is, do you understand how mad that sounds?
Yeah.
I hate when people fucking tell me, they're like, I don't know that it bothered you because I didn't see you upset. Did I tell you that it bothered me? I'm alone.
Right, right.
That's all you need.
Right.
That's all you need. You don't need me to, like, break down in front of you. So don't be dense.
You're not a therapist. You don't get to decipher my emotions for what they are.
And I just think that, like, Erica Jane.
So you were talking about Erica Jane, and I definitely want to get into your feelings about her and her arc.
You know, I meant to say this earlier, the issue with the Erica Jane of it all and what it, like, where Housewives is going is we spent one season, the season before last.
Yep.
So focused on the Erica Jane, Tom Girardi of it all, mm-hmm. when it didn't need to be that. Yes, that was going on, but the entire season should have never been about that, because halfway through that season, I was like, I don't want to talk about this anymore, because she's not going to tell me the truth. I'm a person that's like, if you're not going to get here and sit in the confessional chair and tell me the truth, if you're going to, in the way Erica does it as well, it's like talking in circles, talking like she thinks she's smarter than us.
Yes.
But then at the same time, you're smarter than us, but you weren't smart enough to, you know, outsmart your husband.
Right.
You didn't even debit card. Like, fuck off. I don't have time for
literally.
That. If I'm never going to know the truth, if I'm not going to know the truth, I don't give a fuck. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Same way I felt about that Kathy and Lisa incident. I'm never going to know the truth. There's no footage. There's no nothing to corroborate what either one of them are saying. I don't give a fuck. I don't need to see this anymore. And I don't want to, especially when it comes to victims. Like, so Erica Jane got by before the scandal with kind of filling the, okay, she is not like your typical Beverly Hills white woman role. And I think the funniest thing about that to me is always going to be when they do that on these like majority white housewife franchises, mm-hmm. is that woman who was the spicy white you the mask falls and you see how she's not as like woke as everybody perceived her to be. And I'm like, this is exactly why it's so funny, because y'all being the audience, you really did perceive her to be like the diversity of the cast simply because she wasn't like the rest of the other white women. But at the end of the day, she's a white woman. She's a middle-aged white woman at that.
Yes.
So you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's so funny to me. And I think she really leaned into that role. I don't want to say the gays are starting to turn on her, because I cannot speak for the gays, and two, I just, from what I see, some of the gays still love, they still live for Erica.
Yeah, sure.
Because she had the whole thing with the designer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That story is getting like its second and third wind, which I find so fucking interesting. That story's been out there. I heard about that like 2-3 years ago when all these
years. Yep.
Yeah, first started happening. And the fact that like, I'm seeing people now make videos of it, and they're like, she's not the ally we thought she was. I was like, y'all know that this story has been right there. It, we've already went over this. Like, what are you talking about?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. The fact that I think, because in the 6-minute view where she was like, I'm sad because my friend is golf.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
They showed the email.
I love it. I'll read it. I'll read it for the listeners in case anyone just needed to have it read to them. Hold on.
It's so petty.
The subject is one more external, which is interesting. Like, if it says external, so I guess she was maybe emailing back and forth from her personal email and not her work email, which would... Right. Indicate to me that she no longer had a work email. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe that's too far into it, but whatever. Well, the subject is
one more. I'm a little confused because go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so the subject is one more, and it says, I will not be renewing my contract and I will not be coming back to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But she uses the what's it called? Anagram. What's it called when you use the letters instead of the anagram?
I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. Yeah.
RHBH or whatever. Okay. And then she says, thank you so much for 8 years. Four exclamation points. All the best, Lisa Rinna. I have questions all around. So I have questions about why Bravo showed that. Are they, and this has been my thing since her firing, did she have shit on Bravo or did Bravo have shit on her? Like, what led? Because cast or feedback from the audience about whether or not they like someone does not determine anyone's tenure, particularly on The Housewives. They do shit to get themselves fucking off the show or they leave.
It's like, not as much power as people think it is.
Right.
It's not as much power. I would say it's probably like 20% of audience reaction is probably like what they take into consideration. I cannot stress enough, like, people don't understand. Bravo is not listening to us. They do not give a fuck. And I honestly think that is best for the most part.
Yeah.
I do think that is best because, like, sometimes even people commenting on my videos and stuff, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Right. Are you okay? Like, this is a good thing you are not a TV producer. Like, don't quit your day job. But I will say this, and I have said this for a while now. It is Lisa Rinna is now going to go into the NeNe Leakes Bethany Frankel box, right?
Yes. Yep.
Because she overstayed her welcome. And I'm not putting that all on Lisa Rinna. I'm putting some of that on Bravo. I have said for the longest time now, I do not think any housewife, no matter Candy, Kyle, anybody, I don't think they should be able to consecutively do more than 5 seasons.
I agree with you.
In those 5 seasons, I think that they should either have to be either you can be on pause, right? Or you can go to a friend of, but you need a season or two off. And I think it should be one or two seasons that they have to sit out or sit on the sidelines because it did for me, it does nothing for the dynamics. And now you have what you have with Lisa Rinna. It's in NeNe Leakes and Bethany Frankel. And I love NeNe. But what you have created is a bitter old housewife now.
Yep.
Because things did not take place the way she wanted it to take place. But the issue with that is it's not Bravo's fault. It's not Bravo's fault, the audience reaction. Yes, they edit the show, but the audience reaction is not Bravo's fault. It's not the producer's fault. I really don't think it is. There's blame to be placed all around. And what Lisa Rinna, NeNe Leakes, and Bethany Frankel all have in common is that they are allergic to accountability.
Yeah.
They are simply allergic to accountability.
Oh, and yeah.
All three of them showed
in NeNe's interview with Carlos King.
Yeah.
I loved it, but
I do not doubt that there were some things behind the scenes with producers that, you know, came off racist. Yeah.
I believe 100% that there was racism on that show. Like,
yeah. I don't doubt that 100%. Even when the last reunion that Kim Zolciak Bierman was on, Andy was like, I actually felt bad for her. Why did you feel bad for her? Her husband is here with a gun.
Yeah.
Normally is her husband here with a gun. It's not like Kim kept her mouth shut that entire season and did nothing to anybody. That is something that Andy said that will always, always piss me the fuck off. Why do you feel bad for her? And then she went on a tirade about this cancel culture shit, this racism shit. This isn't real. This just happened. Blah, blah. This woman on a cast with all Black women. And then you're sitting up here saying you feel bad for her? Are you well? Like, no, you're not. So that's my thing. It creates a bitter housewife because now it's everybody else's fault. Instead of being able to come back and come to the table and say, like, okay, this is what worked. This is what didn't. We're all going to still be in good standing. And I'm not putting it all on the girl, on the women. It's not housewife's fault. It's production's fault as well. I think, you know, with the reality TV reckoning, the Vanity Fair piece that's coming out, do I think a lot of it is going to be a lot of like scorched old reality TV stars? Yes, I do.
Sure.
However, where I lie, I don't think children should be on The Housewives.
Agree.
If they're grown, yep. If they're grown, we shouldn't watch them grow up. I don't think they need to take the kids out. I never really agreed with, like, you have to show every single part of your life, your kids, all of this to be able to be on there. I don't agree with that. I think that the drinking and then kind of the meddling to a certain extent. When we start meddling, as in telling lies to get things out, I think that's obviously a problem. However, when it comes to like Brandi Glanville trying to avoid responsibility for allegedly touching Caroline Manzo, I get that everybody hates Caroline Manzo because of the letter that she wrote. I try to stay out of that because, again, yeah. I like
super.
I like facts. I really do. Those Manzos, DJ, there's too much murky water in there somewhere. I get it that everybody hates Caroline, but that doesn't mean that she deserves to be violated.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. So I don't like that when people insinuate that, oh, like, listen to what you did to your sister, blah, blah. Like, no, let's not go there. Like,
are people saying?
Yes.
Same.
Yes.
Same. Y'all are fucking,
weirdos. That's what I mean. Some of this shit doesn't happen. Like, people will be like, oh, I don't like her. So XYZ. Same thing with like Jessa with Roni. They're like, well, she gets on my nerves. I get it. She gets on your nerves. That's totally fine. That's your prerogative. How she's being treated? No. Like, do you treat somebody like that gets on your nerves? You don't. And if you do, they're mad. Like, you're mean as fuck.
Yeah.
Because somebody who gets on my nerves, I ignore. Even if I have to work. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think that, you know, there's stuff. And then when it comes to production, like when they say with the old Roni, when Ebony got brought on, they also brought on, like, two or three Black producers.
Mm.
But issue is, and I learned this when all this went on, issue is you brought in these two or three Black producers, but then you still have this old talent, Ramona, who is like, we don't do that here. We don't do that here. So yes, you have done your part in bringing on the quote unquote diversity hires, because I'm sorry, I really liked Ebony, but that's what she was. And then the production to, you know, assist with that. However, what you now have is your, it's just like when they integrated schools. Yeah, you integrated the schools, but you didn't integrate people's minds.
Right.
You put diverse people, minorities, in a environment.
Hostile environment.
Yes, exactly. And yes. Now you have Ramona making those comments. You have Luann.
And you listen to these. This is the thing. You value, it seems, it reads to me like they value this older talent, older, not necessarily by age, but like longevity on the show. You value their input more than you value the people that you've hired to bring new perspectives to these shows. And that's what concerns me. And kind of bringing it back to Beverly Hills for just a second. You know, I was concerned that that was going to be what happened to Garcelle when she first got on the show. I was concerned that, like, you're with these, but then within like 3 seconds of meeting her, you're like, oh, no. She's in the game. She gets the game. She knows what the fuck she's doing. She's very, and I wanted to know what you thought about her upcoming season, because she hasn't really had like a bad season, but I have this anxiety that this is going to be her, not villain, but the social media tide is going to turn against Garcelle.
She's going to have a bad season. And I think everybody, the audience needs to realize that. Honestly, truly, my favorite housewives have bad seasons. Bad season. Like, it just makes them, it makes me love them more. It really does.
Yeah.
Every season, I say this over and over and over again. Every season cannot be a good season for the housewives. Some of my favorite reality TV stars know how to take it. Okay, I didn't have a great season. I either looked like this on social media or I behaved like this and then it didn't come off well. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to leave last season in the last season and I'm going to move forward doing my job. That's part of the reason I love Lindsay Hubbard so much.
Yeah.
It really is.
Oh, yeah.
Because she shows up, she does her fucking job. She is not always right.
No.
She's not always right. And she's not always concerned about winning the audience over.
Right.
She's just there to be seemingly herself. Right. And it's not perceived well by people. But that's why I appreciate her. You know, these reality stars cannot be scared of bad seasons.
No.
They can't be. So if it's a bad season for Garcelle, let me say this. Reality stars can't be scared of bad seasons. The audience needs to be more accepting of bad seasons from
they
these reality stars. Like, it's baffling to me how some of the fans like jump ship or, you know, like, will just like crucify him. I'm like, is every day of your life a good day? Is that like you put your best foot forward every single day at work? Like, and you're 100%. It's not true.
Mm-mm.
This is harder for them.
Yeah. Do you think that Garcelle may have one of these like backlash seasons where the audience doesn't receive her well, or what do you think? Or do you think she's still on a pretty good track?
It's just so 50-50. It's so, I don't know. You know, a lot of my thing is a response to Garcelle and a response to some of the housewives, because I feel like the response is different when it comes to certain people. Like in Salt Lake City, I think if any other housewife in Salt Lake would have had that meltdown that Lisa Barlow had over her makeup, they would have been crucified.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. I think they would have been crucified. People would have been calling them names. And that's kind of what I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
That some people can get away with things that others don't. But I don't, as far as Garcelle having a bad season, I'm not sure. I don't want to say, do I think it's going to be a bad season? No. I don't think it's going to be a bad season, but do I think people are going to kind of start shifting when it comes to it? Yes.
Who is your favorite Beverly Hills housewife?
Of all time?
Sure, of all time and of the upcoming season. Let's do both.
Really loved Eileen.
Oh, yeah.
I really loved Eileen. And I got to tell you, early seasons, Brandy's first two seasons of that show, oh my God.
Yeah.
Every time I go back and watch Brandy's first two seasons, yep, I'm like, I want her back. And then towards the end, I'm like, never mind.
No, girl. Stay with you.
It's such a hard fall from grace.
Yes.
It's such a hard
it's
fall
so sad.
From grace.
It's so sad.
You know what's funny? I don't think I've ever said this out loud. I liked Teddy her first season.
Ooh.
I did like her
I did
first
too.
I did like Teddy.
I did
and I liked Dorit. Oh, if Dorit would get like I liked Dorit her first season when she was just completely blissfully unaware and did not give a fuck. I loved Dorit.
Dorit, when she has really high highs, they are absolutely unmatched. She has incredible moments on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has like
I loved when she when she was beefing with Erica.
Remember no, that was great.
I fucking loved
someone
it.
Someone needs to listen. I also loved Erica. I'm a former burlesque producer and performer. Mm-hmm. So when Erica came on, I felt like kind of seen. Like I'm not, you know, like I didn't work in like your traditional like strip club, but you know, like the mm-hmm. performer and like the sexiness and all of that and like the kind of gold digger vibes, I was really into it. And then she really pissed me off. Mm-hmm. And then she got, and rewatching season 10 before we knew about all the Tom Girardi stuff, I'm rewatching it and I'm like, you were a huge jackass this entire season. I wasn't clocking it because I was so focused on, I don't even know what I was focused on. And now, you know, I don't know how I'm going to feel about her this season. I don't know what she's going to give or bring. I thought she was a disaster last season.
That was bad.
That was really bad. Her, when she was wasted on the yacht, that was very entertaining. But she's an evil person, I think. and then Dorit, when Garcelle had her dinner, Dorit kept talking and she kept like talking about her, like, was it like a maid or a I don't want to say a servant, but it was like more,
yeah.
It was more maid, mm-hmm. More than a nanny and all the people that she grew up with and the absolute hole that she dug.
My mom's best friend is black.
My mom's best friend. And this is the problem. And this is my perspective as a white woman. This is like the issue with these ladies and with most of the all white casts, right? You can be a white woman, but if it is glaringly obvious when you do not have any other black people in your close circle or minorities of any sort, mm-hmm. but particularly black women and men in your circle that like you interact with or that are your friends and that you learn and grow from outside of your interaction with your cast, mm-hmm. that is alarming. And Dorit alarms me. And Erica does too, because like you were saying, she came on the cast like as a, you know, gay icon, but like mm-hmm. the white gays do not encompass gay culture for everyone. And her behavior, just because she grew up and then she was a stripper and then she was, she was a stripper. I don't know that she did like sex work necessarily or if that strippers fall under that category, but she did that. And so people kind of felt like maybe in that way, but then there's like, what's her, Leah? God, that girl from Roni, Leah.
Oh, Leah McSweeney?
Disaster.
She fell under the bubble of the white woman that was cooler than the old hags.
Right.
Just for lack of a better term. But then when you get an actual black woman or get a person of color on the cast, you're like, no, there's still a white woman at the end of the day. Middle-aged one at that.
A middle-aged one at that, yes.
Well, and Aaliyah's claim to fame is the fact, not claim to fame. Her hot buzz button is, I'm going to just be so honest. Aaliyah is one of those white girls that like clearly hung out around people of color. And I can just see it now. It was like, oh, yeah, Leah, that's a cool white girl. That's a cool white girl. A lot of black men love
her. Yes, men. Sure. Yes, for sure.
And so she thought she got a pass, right? Then she had the incident of experiencing police brutality. Mm-hmm. And she sued the New York City Police Department and won. The funniest thing is, because he did, he slammed her to the ground, right? But the thing about that is, Leah got in his face.
Right.
She got in his face.
Right.
And you lived, not only did you live to tell the story,
mm-hmm.
you had enough resources and money to sue the police department to get a huge lump sum of money. That's not experiencing police brutality the same way a person of color does.
And then what did you do with that money, Leah? Did you funnel it into your weird fucking appropriated streetwear brand? What the fuck did you do with that money?
Yeah,
I hate her.
And then her. She funneled it into wearing, making shirts with Lil Kim's mugshot on.
Oh my God. She can go and never come back.
Yeah, so that's,
triggers me.
Mm-hmm.
But back to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We've talked about Amory. Let's talk about Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Sutton for a minute. So in season 10, I really didn't appreciate, like, her friend of status was honestly perfect for the show. She did mm-hmm. she did everything she needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come into season 11, and then there's like the jacket. And then there's like was dark, and then there's like the story about the hot tub and how she had all of her, I think her words, multicultural friends in the hot tub. Her daughter's friends. And it's more, I can grasp it just because I live in Atlanta and I like know this type of person,
mm-hmm.
like tangentially, but she kind of didn't do a great job for the most season 12 of allyship for sure, but like making herself an empathetic character, whereas her first season when she was friend of, it was very like kind of like we did with Kathy Hilton, which was like, we appreciate her for her, quirkiness,
mm-hmm.
but we don't really need more from you. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Sutton? And then how do you feel about her going into season 13?
Well, Sutton is a white woman from Augusta, Georgia. Yeah. So I'm not expecting Sutton to pop up on the scene like, which, again, middle-aged white woman from Augusta, Georgia. I'm not expecting her to pop up on the scene with all of the knowledge and saying all of the right things. I'm not surprised that Sutton got herself into the hot water that she got herself into. Mm-hmm. One, two. With the whole crystal of it all in the hot, and specifically the hot tub comment, I will say this. Like, me and, like, Taria and Stephanie, we spoke about this. That is one of those times where what I explained earlier, is that something that me as a Black person would be like, oh my God, how could you say that, blah, blah, blah. For me and like how me and Taria and Stephanie like kind of say it, we definitely would have been like, like making side eyes if Sutton said that in front of us and then later been like, girl, did you hear her say this?
Yeah.
And that would have been that, right? Crystal obviously felt a type of way about that. I don't want to take away from, her feelings, how she felt about it, because they're valid. It's just one of those things that, it's a gray area, because it's like, okay, Sutton is, at the end of the day, where her heart lied, what she was trying to say, she was trying to say the right thing. She's saying, she's looking, she's so happy her daughter has, we are at a time where her daughter has, all of these different types of friends and, X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. Was that the way to say it? I don't know. Sutton's a fucking middle-aged white woman from Augusta, Georgia. I don't know how else she would have said that. I think we need to get away from the, like, thinking that people are going to say the right thing the right way all the time. They're not. Again, I don't want to invalidate Crystal saying like she felt the type of way about that, but Sutton has a way of watching Sutton and Kyle Bali, they're victimizing themselves is in part, because you have a white woman from the South and then you have a white woman from California. And it's two different ways of victimizing themselves. And I'm just like, wow, I could watch you guys do this for forever. Because what? Like, almost everything that they say to one another, I would never come out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. It would never come out of my mouth when having a conversation with somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, the way Sutton does it, the way Kyle does it, I'm just like, it should be studied.
It should be.
I mean, she acts the way I expect her to act. She has said some things that, I was like, Jesus Christ. She has, pulling out that fucking roller and shit.
Oh my God, the face roller.
Yeah, I would have tossed it in the about fucking that. Lake. Yeah, I would have tossed in the fucking lake, honestly, truly.
Yeah.
And she plays her part. She plays her part.
She does. Who else have we not touched on? Well, let's get into... Well, let me think. We got Kyle. We got Dorit. Garcelle, Sutton. Who else is on this show? We talked about Anne-Marie.
We talked about Erica.
And Crystal. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's crazy.
I do want to say this, though.
Okay.
Pertaining to season 10, we talked about it. Mm-hmm. And going into the season with whatever the fuck is going on with Kyle and Morgan Wade.
Yeah, let's go there.
The thing that was driving me crazy during season 10, and I almost had to like stop watching season 10. I think I stopped like a couple episodes. Beverly Hills is entirely too long. I don't know why they get the longest fucking
24 season. Fucking like, episodes.
It makes no fucking sense to me.
None.
But.
Exhausting.
The thing that was bothering me about the Denise, Brandy of it all. Do I think Denise was lying? Probably. I don't give a fuck. My issue was. That has none. Whether who Denise fucks, who she has sex with, has nothing to do. It should never be a storyline for this show. And had it been a man, it wouldn't have been.
No.
And had it been a man and these women were outwardly trying to harp on her having sex with him as a storyline, people would have clapped it like that.
Yeah.
The fact that they were like, oh, she had sex with not only a woman, but a woman that we know. And then you made it, and it didn't happen on the show. It didn't happen during filming of the show. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen after a night out that we saw take place on the show. It had nothing to do with the show. While they tried to out her like that over something that seemingly had nothing to do with the fucking show or anybody else, that's what I had a problem with. And Kyle was the fucking ringleader. And back then, it was, Denise is a liar. Denise is a liar. Denise is a liar. Yeah, but she's not lying about anything that affects the show.
Matters, yeah.
It doesn't matter. None of the, never else have we sat here and talked about who has somebody slept with. Again, we don't, like, Denise is married to Aaron, who is a fucking nut in his own right.
Ugh.
But everybody was conflating all these things when it came to Denise. Aaron being a nut and Denise sleeping with, possibly sleeping with Brandy, two separate things.
Yeah.
Denise's sexuality should never be a conversation here.
No.
And now, because Denise was not received well, and Kyle is Kyle, the queen of Beverly Hills, you have people saying, like, you should not be questioning her sexuality, da-da-da-da-da. All I have to say to the public is I hope that if you were a person, if you are a person who is saying you shouldn't be questioning Kyle's sexuality, she's married to a man, you were not living for Denise getting outed for possibly sleeping with Brandy back in season 10. Because it's the same fucking thing. Denise is married to a man. Kyle is married to a man. Denise has children. Kyle has children. You can't pick and choose when the homophobia is right because it fits the person you like.
Thank you.
Kyle is
driving
me
nuts.
Kyle is fucked up for that. Brandy with half a ponytail hanging onto her head and Kim show up to filming.
You had
to tell this story on camera.
You had your sister fully on meth, allegedly. Just kidding. I'm joking. I'm totally kidding. Fully on meth. Come into your house talking about, oh,
I have to give you some dresses for your next thing, Kyle. And also, weirdly, Brandy's in the car. Kyle's like, oh my God, Brandy in the car. What are you talking about? And then they bring Brandy in, fully mic her up, and let her sit down and tell this story. Kyle, you wrote a blog back in the Bravo blogging days, literally titled Brandy Spreads Lies. And now all of a sudden, if there's one thing she's not, it's a liar. Fine. All right. But then it kind of got a little conflated where I feel like by the end of the season, people were over Teddy. Fair, I guess. I don't like Teddy. And I do not like anything she brought. I don't like anything she brought to the show, mostly because she didn't bring much. But really, if we're going to look at the, and then Rinna also, who was also, again, she's behind the goddamn scenes, spinning things, being a bad friend, doing things. But Kyle should not get let off the hook for that. She brought Brandy into her home with her sister to tell this on camera. She knew what the hell was about to happen.
She didn't.
Okay. Him's crazy ass didn't call her talking about, well, and then Brandy told me. Like, you know, girl. Like, you know.
And so, oh, like, going, sorry.
No. And then they go on this Rome trip, and I posted the video, I sent it to you of, or tagged you in it, of Kyle being like, well, my husband would be livid if I slept with another woman. That's interesting, Kyle. That's very interesting. And now what are we supposed to feel about all of this now with Morgan Wade? What am I supposed to feel? I know what I feel, and it's just me. I feel like she's fucking that woman, or she fucked her once before. That's how I feel. Now, do I think that that's a bad thing? No. What I don't appreciate is feedback from her about respecting her privacy with the separation. And first of all, I'm not going to respect. First of all, I don't know you, so I can't invade your privacy, right? Anything that I'm reacting to is from shit that you do and that you put out and that you are aware of, right?
Yeah.
So I always hate when celebrities do this. They're like, please respect our privacy. Okay, I'm not a journalist, so I'm going to say what I want to say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, you do this whacked out video with Morgan Wade where, and not to take away her like acting status, I'm happy that she's getting roles and that she's working in these times. Like, that's tight. But you're out here in a video making out with the girl, and then you're like, don't speculate on my sexuality. Maybe she hasn't said that, but there's like a narrative out there that we shouldn't speculate on her sexuality. Y'all are not awake. She is doing this so that we can speculate on her sexuality. So I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want to do, actually. So
I do think I agree with you too, because if you I'm just being honest, because I remember they were like, oh, we're doing this to troll the trolls.
Okay.
If that's what you want to call it, I don't care. What I will say is, you cannot take this. Well, you can do whatever you want. It's just, you come off like a huge hypocrite to say, don't speculate about my sexuality when you saw me 3 years ago on national television speculating about someone's sexuality and who they had in their bedroom.
For a season.
Why can you do it to somebody, but they can't do it to you when you present the evidence to them? Because not for nothing, Brandy didn't, or not Brandy, Denise didn't present that evidence.
No.
She did not present that to anybody. It was dug up. It was brought on to her. Kyle, you're feeding it to us. She can hang out with whoever the fuck she wants to hang out with. Lord knows I got plenty of fucking gay friends. Gay, lesbian, bi friends. That's so many. But it's one of those things. I don't walk around. You know what I mean? I don't walk around and queer baiting at anybody. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, Kyle, you want this attention. The room that word on the street is that the Richard's got, the Kyle got Mansky's, whatever, got new producers. Beverly Hills got new producers.
Right.
And they told to not go light on Kyle because, honestly, truly, besides her sisters, arguing with her sisters, Kyle has not had a bad season. And that's what drives me crazy. When she's like, you've had a bad season. You've been on the show for fucking 13 years. And you finally had a bad season? You're relishing in everybody else's bad season? What a fucking clue, bitch. But yeah. You want to be held in high housewife standard? In housewife, like, super, you want to be in housewife superdome, housewife, but super housewives, they have bad seasons. And they come back and do it all over
it.
Kyle is a sniper from the side, and she's always wanted to skate by. And that's why people feel how they feel about LVP. Yes, I'm an LVP fan. I'm not saying that she was not, you know, behind the scenes meddling. I think LVP did her job as housewife
She knew how to do her goddamn job, okay?
Up until she didn't show up.
Well, right.
But she, Kyle, is the, again, sniper from the side. She held on to LVP's coattails. And I think that breakdown of their friendship really comes from the fact that, like Lisa was saying, Kyle, you know everything in and out. So don't you fucking do this. And when it's now time to jump ship, after my brother, and was it her brother and her mom who had just died?
Yes, her brother had committed suicide, and then her mom just died naturally. I think that on Beverly Hills, her brother had just died. And then I think that it was Vanderpump Rules that we found out that her mom died. I don't think that they were both happening on Beverly Hills, but I'm sure her mom was sick.
Yeah. So
whatever.
I think that's why the vim and the, you know, power behind goodbye, Kyle. That was like, because I would too, if I'm thinking about it from my point, we started this together. We're in this together. We have moved these pieces around together. And not only that, over a fucking dog. Over a dog. You really jumped ship on me about a fucking dog. I would never talk to her again. You left me out to dry after all, like, because LVP knows where the bodies are buried.
Oh.
So does Kyle.
Yeah.
And they could honestly, LVP did Kyle a favor. She really did. I think if she didn't have been a pump role, she probably wouldn't have done her that favor. But she knows where the bodies are buried. She will jump ship on you whenever it is convenient for her.
Yep.
She really will. So Kyle is one of those, you know, people try and say like Beverly Hills needs Kyle. I don't think Beverly Hills needs Kyle. Think that she would be missing if she took a season off? Yes, obviously. Duh.
Yeah.
But I think Real Housewives of Beverly Hills could survive without Kyle, and I'd like to see.
Well, I think that Garcelle could easily be head Beverly Hills housewife. Easily.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that Kyle has that keeps her intriguing is her sisters. Because I, for one, would kill for a Richard sisters spinoff and just the three of them, which they did technically do before Beverly Hills, which is called Beverly Hills Bums, which is you know about that. For those who don't know, the three of them had a pilot of a show in mid 2007, I think.
Yeah, I want to say 2008, 2007, 2008.
Yep. They went around and did makeovers on unhoused people in Beverly Hills, which is fucking deplorable behavior. So maybe I don't want to spin off of the three of them if that's what they're going to give. But if we're not going to like get into it with you, Kyle, if no one, and I don't know what, I don't know how, I don't know why, we can't just get to the nitty gritty of it because she's burned the bridge with Kathy. I don't think Kathy fucks with her at all anymore. She has Kim, which is sad because who else does Kim have to like glom onto, whatever. But if Kyle left, Garcelle could easily be head bitch in charge and carry Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I can't think of anybody else who could.
The only place I want to see all three Richard sisters again is in therapy without a camera around.
I was going to say in jail. No,
they need to go to therapy. They don't need to work together anymore. They don't need to film together anymore.
No.
Money is the root of a lot of their issues, I think, because that's how Big Kathy raised them. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see all three of them on Bronco again.
Yeah, no, I think that you're right. And I think that Kyle, if she's not going to be open and honest mm-hmm. on this upcoming season, then I don't know what the season's going to give, which is going to be my last question for you. So we're going into season 13.
Mm-hmm.
What are your predictions as far as, will this season be a flop? And if yes or no, what do you think is going to like keep the season dynamic? Do you think it'll solely be the Kyle and Morgan Wade drama? What do you think could really like turn this season into something that we would want to keep going for another year?
I don't think the season is going to be a flop. I think this season is going to be, it's not going to be a hit. I think it's going to be a rebuild, okay? Which is, I do personally feel like we're in this era of rebuilding with a lot of these Housewives shows anyways. They didn't go to shit overnight. No matter what anybody tries to say, Roni, for example, Roni didn't flop because of Ebony. That's not the season it flopped. People had been complaining about it.
No, they had been shitting on themselves and falling down drunk with nothing to say or do for a couple of years. So,
well, not only that, I remember the season before Ebony joined, people were like, this ain't working out.
Yeah.
Like they were. Was that the season that Bethany and Carol fell out? I can't remember. It don't matter.
Whatever.
But these shows don't go to shit overnight and they're not going to rebuild overnight. It is, and I feel like, especially since the, you know, Salt Lake City is having a great season, people are going to be like, they did it with Salt Lake City. They did it with Salt Lake City. I always knew what the issue was with Salt Lake City. I always knew the issue was Jen.
Jen Shaw.
Yeah. So I just think that when you keep most of the cast, that's going to continue to happen. I mean, I think in the next coming years, we're going to start to see a lot of Housewives get the chop that have been longstanding, and it's probably fine. But I don't think it's going to be a flop. I don't think it's going to be outstanding. I think it's going to be kind of like the OC. OC didn't have an amazing season, but they had a good season, and it's totally fine. Good seasons are fine. You know, I think a lot of issue with reality TV now is the audience. And I know that's rich coming from me, who has a podcast, who has a platform based off of being in the audience of reality TV. But I think I don't think with the same brain that a lot of people do. I'm just going to be transparent. I think that the audience is a big issue. As soon as they don't like somebody, they're like, they stop. They need to go. Like, nobody has fun watching this shit anymore.
Well, and that's been escalating, especially mm-hmm. this past couple of years, as people, it was like COVID, and then obviously mm-hmm. COVID drew in a lot more people who were unfamiliar with Housewives that are catching up, that are getting familiar with these shows. And then you have, you know, not to digress too much, but then you have things happen like what they did with Robin Dixon mm-hmm. and everyone's calling for her firing. And I'm like, no, I think you kind of want to see where this goes. I think we want to keep an eye on this, just for like, let's give her one more and see how this goes. Because
here's the thing, which I will give people with Robin Dixon. I'm not a Robin fan. I need to see Robin without. I need to see Robin and Giselle without each other. I think that's a dynamic that we need to break up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mainly my issue. I don't think I am unpopular in being this. I think I actually might like Robin a lot more if we get rid of Giselle.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. But the issue is we're not going to get rid of Giselle. But I don't think that people were calling for Robin Dixon to be fired solely because, and I know Robin fans will argue me down on this, but solely because she hid the wand thing. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't solely because of Juan. Robin has a house up. She gives such friend of energy. And the friend of, she is Giselle's friend. Mm-hmm. Like, that is her tenure on the show. She is Giselle's friend. She doesn't do anything. And it sucks because you see Robin without Giselle and you see her kind of have a different take on things. And then when she goes and tells Giselle and she, you know, Giselle gets into it, into Robin's business, her opinion starts to change.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it comes off.
Yeah.
I get people who like Robin. Robin has done a couple things. She's an Aries, just like me. She's done a couple things. Same. Where I'm like, I understand her. You're an Aries?
Aren't we like a day apart? What's your birthday?
Oh, yeah. We had this conversation. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we're 2 days apart, I think.
Your 30th? Huh? I'm 31st. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're a day apart. Yeah. But yeah, some of Robin's reaction stuff as an Aries, I do understand. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, yeah, I get why she did that. Following up on Giselle and shit, like, we're very loyal people. Yeah. We are very loyal people. So yep. I also understand that. But when she said her and Giselle made a pact to not argue on the show, not let the show get in between their friendship, I completely see that. If I were to go on reality TV with a friend, I would make that same pact.
Same.
I really would, because my friendships aren't everything to me. The people I love are everything to me. So I get it. I just don't know if it translates to a good housewife. You know what I mean? It's just, these shows don't go to shit overnight, I don't think, and they're not going to rebuild overnight.
Right. Well, I think that we're just going to have to wait and see on Beverly Hills. I'm definitely most interested in Kyle. Not so much... I'm definitely interested in the Morgan Wade of it all, but I think that the early episodes, it's just going to be like, how is she holding herself?
Yeah.
Is she being a hypocrite? Is the Loki homophobia going to withstand? Because that's literally what she gave in season 10 was Loki homophobia. Arguably high key.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to see. This is like, it's hard because like I do love it and sometimes it's my favorite. Atlanta is my all time favorite. Atlanta has broken my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot personally hold it as my favorite right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we will just have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. And before you go, I just have one question, non-Beverly Hills related. I saw on Instagram that you are catching up on Southern Charm. And
Oh my God.
I saw that you're getting into the Taylor Ann Green of it all. And I wanted to hear your thoughts. What do you think about Taylor? Did you watch previous seasons? Like, are you?
So I saw season 7. Mm-hmm. And I think that Craig Conover is awful. My arch nemesis.
He's awful. Let me just tell you this really quick. My friend and I, kind of as a joke, but kind of for real, if I'm being totally honest, went and saw him and Austin do Pills and Beer in Atlanta, their podcast. Craig is completely fucking unhinged, okay? Mm-hmm. He is... whatever he's putting on for TV, which this is his job, and so good for you. I know that you're doing it, but his whole persona of being like, he's like a maniacal person. He's maniacal. Mm-hmm. And he's stirring the pot, okay? Now makes him a great reality television person, but I think he needs to go to therapy with the Richard sisters, is all I'm saying.
And and here's the thing, because I can kind of see the dynamics now that I watched earlier seasons of Southern Charm here and there. I didn't watch them consecutively. So I know the players. I know like all the storylines will happen. I watched all of season 7. That season 7, how Craig made it out of season 7 is beyond me. The man is a COVID denier. He's a non-vaxxer.
Yes.
He he went live with Tomi Lahren during 2020. Like the and that he's like a hiding in plain sight. And that's what kills me about him with people, but whatever. He's a conspiracy theorist through and through. But with this current season, yeah, he makes sense, right? I didn't watch season 8 at all, but I think Taylor Ann Green is diabolical.
Yes.
I think she is worse than Raquel. I think she is...
Duh.
She is an Aries, and it hurts me.
Is she an Aries?
Yes.
God damn it.
But she's an Aries Taurus cusp.
Okay, those people are whacked out.
She's an Aries, but...
Oh, yeah.
I think she is so diabolical because she brings God into it and Jesus into it every single fucking time. And she's going to piss me the fuck off. She thinks that just because she said God, like, we can't question anything. She said, no, I got questions for Jesus. I got questions for you, bitch.
Yeah,
like, that's a very dumb lady. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
and if I were Olivia, I don't even like Olivia.
I don't like her either.
I think Olivia's
a racist. On her team. She is.
I think Olivia's a racist. But when Olivia started...
Allegedly, I guess. I don't know. She gives racist vibes.
I think she's ignorant. I'll say that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I saw the clips of her going off and what she was saying to Vanita, and she's very close friends with Catherine Dennis, who apparently can't fucking drive. You've seen it.
Just running over your old SRO.
Like... But
she's on drugs heavy. So
when I saw that conversation take place between Taylor and Olivia, and then Olivia gets in her car and starts crying, I was like, oh, no, 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 no. And Taylor keeps saying, I have to sort on my thoughts because, like, Taylor keeps saying, like, you were in a bad place. Like, we were both trying to process of, like, these relationships. Austin broke Olivia's heart. Austin did Olivia dirty. Why do you keep trying to make Austin a victim here? One, two, you keep saying I've known Austin longer than I've known Olivia. Might be true, but it she's is, also yeah. saying I've known Austin the same amount of time I've known Shep. You know Austin because of Shep. You know. Yeah, you've known him the same amount of time because you were dating Shep. What? Mister, no, what I'm saying, Mister, it's making me very up because you did start. You dumb. She seems one of those girls who in life because she's blonde, because she believes in Jesus, and she's from the South, and she's like, well, I just mean the best at the end. And she,
no.
You know, sucks for you. You were cheating on bitch, and it sucks. You're right. It sucks, but you are bringing a reign of terror amongst everybody. Everybody, because you got cheated on, yes, or she cheated on you. That fucking sucks. You don't get to make everybody's life a living hell because of it. Lastly, you can go get another orthodontics assistant job. Don't fucking play. You got into liquor rep because you're a fucking pick me. You are a pick me ass bitch, and you thought it was gonna be easy. Come from the food and bev industry. Try to push those fucking seltzers and not know what she was talking about. And then I was triggered. I was triggered because what it was you still want to have a connection and you want to be in with the guys of the group. You still want to have a pull, right? Those guys are not in orthodontics assistant. They're not in any type of dental industry, right? You once said, okay, I'll be in the food and bev industry and I think it's going to be easy, but you think you're too good to be a fucking bartender like some of us. So you said, let me go ahead and be a beer rep. What Austin used to do.
Well,
she upsets me. Just,
what she wants is to be famous first.
That too.
That's what I think everyone needs to get perspective on. Yeah, she wants to be fucking famous. So... She absolutely could have continued to be an orthodontics assistant, but you can't do that and sustain a reality television schedule because they're not going to be able to. She can't. Maybe some people can. She cannot. And then
she wants to drink. That calf drinks so much.
The liquor brand that she's repping, what Shep put her on. Shep put her on to the liquor brand. That's his people. So, Taylor, respectfully, get a grip. And
Thanks for that, Shep. She's like, my lights went out, so thanks for that, Shep.
It's also like, Taylor, I'm sorry. I hate being this person. Like, Shep has been exactly the same way. Literally, maybe one of our most consistent reality television characters of all time. When you dated him, you and your God complex and your save a hoe complex and all of this, I don't give a shit about it. Okay. So sorry you couldn't change this man by the, you know, laws of Jesus, didn't get you some sort of power over a man who did not want to be married, who did not want to have children, and does not. He had a literal whole spinoff show about his dating life. Like, you know that that's not what he wants. So, and it's fine to be in the relationship and then to be hurt by the ending of the relationship. I totally get that. Mm-hmm. But then to the thing with Austin, also, I encourage you, Sel, to watch season 8 because context is super important. And they gave, you said she's not, she's more diabolical than Raquel. I would argue Raquel is not diabolical. I don't think that she is. I think that she is not good for reality television. I don't think that she's in the game like she thought she would be. And I think that Taylor is trying to play the game and losing, unfortunately. But what I don't like is when characters make me feel bad for people that I don't like. And I don't like Olivia.
Thank you.
And I don't want to feel bad for her. And now I feel bad for her.
The man cheated on you. Why do you have me reasoning with a cheater? Why do you have me reasoning with a fucking cheater? Like, and I hate about it all because everything she says and does, like, it's just, she's like, what? She's step about making out with a girl 2 weeks after they broke up. And he's like, so you were mad at me for making out with the girl 2 weeks after we broke up. And you were contemplating a relationship with Austin, one of my friends, 2 weeks after we broke up. She goes, but you cheated on me. Two separate things, Olivia, or what's her name? Taylor.
Taylor.
Two separate things. Mm-hmm. Those are two separate things. Yes, Sam cheated on you. That happened. You didn't cheat on him. Okay? So you, right there, you have to, okay, I did, at least I didn't cheat on you. But 2 weeks after the relationship, you're trying to complete everything. Again, he could be like, I broke my toe. She goes, oh, yeah, you cheated on me. You're not the only bitch in America to get cheated on.
No.
And I also think, and I think the thing about it too with Taylor is you can tell when she's like, there's just a sinisterness about her. She smiles sometimes when she's doing some of this stuff. And she, like, when she is telling Shep things that she knows are going to hurt him, she's like, when she's being awful, like when she, Olivia walked into the door of that dinner party.
And she barely walked into the door.
Put her coat on. She put her coat on the entire time.
Taylor was like, she took the wine bottle. She was passing it back like an assembly line. She was like, oh, you have this? Great. By the way, I got to tell you something. Girl, let her sit. Let her wipe her feet.
Like, I would have, there are so many times when I would have slapped the taste out of Taylor's mouth.
For sure.
Absolutely. She would have been calling upon Jesus to get her taste back.
Well, if you don't get the fuck away from me and let me damn put my hand on a table or something, like, let me get my bearings before. And this whole thing to me was sinister because I was like, all y'all motherfuckers knew she was going to do. All of you. We're like, you know what? Let's invite Olivia over and we're going to just tell her when she's at the party. And Taylor, who is bad at the game, and it's not like, she's not like compelling. So she just does what she thinks she's supposed to do for reality TV. Mm-hmm. So she, and incidentally, it makes like fascinating television in the sense that like, You're really not going to take her to the side? You're really not going to let her sit down and stew in it for a second? No, you're going to do it.
Paige is right there.
Right there. Paige was like, girl, I know this is like your second or third year, but
yeah,
have some couth about you, for God's sake. And the pheasants. I love Southern Charm. I know a lot of people hate it. Fair. They're doing some interesting work.
They are.
Over there. So I'm glad. But I do encourage you to... So everyone hated last season, just so you know. I didn't, but I love Southern Charm. So I tend to love even the worst of it. But if you want some context, even just watch the reunion. Just to get a little bit of context. And you'll see even more of Taylor's ways. her methods. Yeah.
This is going to sound so weird in a post-Scandoval world. But I don't even think Ariana went about it the way Taylor went about it. How she was like, how her response to getting cheated on, like she was delivering a monologue. Like, and I was just like, well, first of all, Shep. Okay. Shep of all time. Look at Shep's face. He's perpetually dehydrated. He's not aging well
at all.
That should be, that should literally be revenge enough for you, right? But I saw the clips from the reunion and she's like, I'm like, get fucking grip.
You have to watch the whole thing because it's even more outstanding.
Want to, she annoys me.
I know, but like, that's fair. But just if you just watch, like, try to sit through 15 minutes of it and then you'll probably get everything you need to know. You'll get everything you need to know. Sel, thank you so much for coming on today. I am so happy that you came on and that we got to talk about Beverly Hills. I'm prepared. I feel ready and refreshed in a way that I had to sort out my thoughts. Where can people find you? And guys, just so you know, Sel is also, she's not just a podcaster. She's also a stand-up comedian. I don't know if you have any shows you want to plug in your area, but please do if you do.
I will be at Moondog Meadery in Durham, North Carolina, November 18th. That is an 8 o'clock show. You can find me over on my podcast, Who Asked Me Podcast, which is on hiatus this week and next week, but then we'll be back with new episodes. And you can find me on TikTok, Who Asked Zell. Zell is S-E-L-L-E. You can find me on Instagram with all of the chaotic stories, which is Who Asked Me Podcast.
Very
nice. Oh, and my YouTube channel if you want. Who Asked?
Oh, you have a YouTube?
Yeah, I do.
Cool. Well, you guys know where you can find me at WhoTF Knows Emily Rose on Instagram at Emily Agogo. If you want to follow my personal WTFK Emily Rose on Twitter, and I will talk to you guys later. Bye bye. Tell me what you want.